Thank you, Evanston Vineyard. Thank you for always welcoming me with open arms. It's a privilege and honor to speak to you all this morning, especially to those who have encouraged and strengthened and modeled for me what faith in God looks like. And for those who I haven't met, may I ask to bear with me for the short time I'm up here. I know it can be uncomfortable. I don't know you. You don't know me. You're probably wondering who's this weird guy up here. And I can't really defend that because I'm just a weird guy. But if you haven't gotten the memo, we are in a teaching series on spiritual practices titled Becoming Like Jesus. And the claim is that we become like Jesus by doing the things that Jesus did. It's like monkey see, monkey do. But contrary to the world, we believe that becoming like Jesus is our highest good. It is the highest good. And Jesus models for us the best way to live and to flourish in this life, no matter what your circumstances may be. I know I've experienced this to be true in my life as I didn't always grow up in the church. Just to share a little bit about that. About 6 or 7 years ago, I convinced my brother and my twin sister and my best friend who were there at the time to come with me and commit a crime. There's no need to worry about what happened because before I could even spell crime, the police were there handcuffing and taking us to the police station. And thank God for my aunt who was here this morning. She's the one who came and picked us up. And that was one of the many turning points in my life. And I don't have much time to talk about the despair and depression and anger and loss that I experienced during that time, but I remember writing in my journal, "Dear God, if you hear me, forgive me for my sins, and would you steer me into the life that was meant for me?" Well, a couple months later, a friend invited me to this free pizza thing. I was freaked out. Nobody told me that free pizza thing was code for Evanston Vineyard High School Ministry Outreach. And through a ministry mainly run by high schoolers is where I heard the gospel for the first time and accepted Jesus into my heart. Amen. And I met Chris, a very weird guy. Just joking. And I didn't really know what I signed up for, but I made a commitment to follow him no matter what the cost would be. And what I've experienced in my life is that following Jesus is costly, isn't it? And sometimes it's awkward. But at times, if you're patient and wait on the Lord, you will receive a reward far greater than the risk that you take. In my own life, I've experienced the Lord much in the church, but first, it was outside of the church, in the darkest moments and the least expected places. The story we're about to read involves Jesus meeting someone in that place. So if you have a copy of the Bible or a paper handout, we will read from John chapter 5. When you have the passage ready, turn to somebody and say, "I found it." All right. Nice. My Bible reads from the NIV. "Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, or in some translations, Bethesda. There, it was surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there who had been an invalid for 38 years, And verse 6 says, "When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked them, 'Do you want to get well?' 'Sir,' the invalid replied, 'I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me.' Verse 8, then Jesus said to him, 'Get up, pick up your mat and walk.' At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. Oh boy. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked them, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away in the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple gate and said, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." And this is my favorite part. The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. And this is just a personal thing, but whenever I read this, I wonder, like, was he a snitch or the first evangelist? I don't know. But I think it doesn't matter, but it's not the point. But we see here, the Lord is healing on the Sabbath. Jesus was notorious for doing these things on the Sabbath. Understand, he was going against the traditional grain of what the Pharisees thought the Sabbath was intended to be. And last week, Joy's talk, in her talk, she mentioned the heart of the Sabbath is to bring nourishment, to bring and to sprout life. Plain point, period. That's it. It wasn't created to deprive people of everyday life activity, but it was an opportunity to set people up to thrive. And Jesus demonstrates this by telling the man to take up your mat and walk, to be free. Allow me to back up a little bit and give you some context on where Jesus meets and prays for this man. He is going to an area where there is idolatry of other gods, far from the temple where Jesus and the Jews prayed. And when I traveled to Israel and visited this biblical site, you'll find it was located at the most northern part of the campus. The most northern part of the campus, that is the temple where people worship God. That is outside of the vineyard, if you can use your imagination. Away from the church, it was secluded, this place. This center used to be a beautiful place where the Pharisees would perform their ritual bathings. I learned that the fresh water would flow from the spring into this pool. So that meant that at its peak, it was most likely a fancy recreation place where anybody could go, I should say, wealthier people could go to swim. Well, at the time when Jesus traveled, it was completely abandoned. There was no water flow, so the water became stagnant, and it probably smelled too. And it was no longer a destination where people went, similar to many once prosperous neighborhoods in Chicago. At this pool is where sick people are at with various infirmities. When the pool started to bubble, many of the locals believed that the first one who got in the pool would be healed. And this is important to note because even the people at the pool had faith that healing was possible. And this is more important for us to note because many people in our lives are looking, seeking for something and someone greater than themselves. And Jesus is aware of all this that is happening at this place. And he shows up. And by Jesus showing up in a place where there was little hope and people being left abandoned, he brings newness and is making a public statement that through him alone, he is the way, the truth, and the life by being present and willing to pray for someone. We're in a series of becoming like Jesus, observing some of the spiritual practices that Jesus did. Well, he was led by the Spirit to pray for people. We know this because Jesus says a few verses later when being persecuted by the Pharisees, "Very truly, I tell you, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. But we also know that Jesus was led by the Spirit because it says there was a multitude of people there, which means if you could use your imagination, you probably had to maneuver through the crowds of all the people laying there to this one man. And Jesus was drawn to this one person, surrounded around others with similar physical conditions. But maybe God saw his soul was in greater danger than his physical condition. The man needed an encounter that was not only going to uplift him physically, but spiritually too. And this is the gift that we have to offer to people. Prayer is a gift that we give freely to anyone. And here's the kicker, anywhere. The Pool of Bethesda was not a common place where people went, but Jesus loves to go where people don't, doesn't he? Right in the previous chapter, in John chapter 4, Jesus encounters a Samaritan woman, and the Bible teaches us that the Samaritans and the Jews did not converse, let alone a man talking to a woman. But right there in that place that was so uncommon, Jesus reveals to her the deepest thoughts of God. In Matthew 16, Jesus takes his disciples to Caesarea Philippi, another place filled with idolatry and sexual immorality. And there he shares the most intimate details about him. All this to say, the focus of this account of Jesus is not about healing, but the location of where the healing takes place. This is how God operates. Are you following? And even today, we can see God loves to move through us in places we never expect him to be. So we know this is a concept, but every once in a while, we have things that bring this concept home. So my senior year of high school, I took a class that I enjoyed so much until all of a sudden it took a left turn and we started talking about spirituality, which is fine. But then we started watching, in my opinion, bogus videos about trying to invalidate the person of Jesus, not arguments about if Jesus was the Son of God or Messiah, but just his person. And I remember I started shaking, and people around me who were strong in the faith were walking out every day with their heads down, like discouraged by the videos that they watch. And I think the teacher saw that this was happening. So she kindly said, "I know this is hard for everyone, but if anybody would like to talk to me after, please feel free to." Well, I didn't know what I was going to say, but I knew I wanted to stay just as a personal statement, amen, that Jesus was real. And so she started to talk about spirituality, and I started getting sucked into her conversation. I was like, "Yeah, man, that's so interesting. Tell me more." But then something occurred inside of me, and my spirit started to wake up, and I realized, oh, this is an opportunity to share about the power of God that I've experienced in my life. And just as I started to share, a janitor walks in. And I felt this small impression that maybe she had pain on the left side of her back. And I asked her about it. And then she said, "How do you know?" And now my teacher's staring at me like, "How does he know?" And I shared, this is what Jesus does. This is how he demonstrates his love for people. And can I invite you to come and pray with me for her back? And she was like, "Okay." So she walks over with me. And at the Vineyard, we have a 5-step prayer motto, how we pray, and we ask, is it okay if we can pray, and we rate their pain. So we walk through all these steps, and then out of a sudden, the teacher jumps, and she says, "My hand is hot. What's happening?" And then the janitor's back was like, she's like, "My back is hot." And then she bends over to touch her toes, and she starts weeping. And then the teacher starts weeping, and I'm like, I have a bus to catch. I was not planning for any of this to happen. But that's what happens when we're open to the Spirit being able to work through us. Another story that I like is during the pandemic last year, just like everybody, we only thought it was going to last a few weeks. And so I was like, okay, I'll go home and spend time with my family and my brothers. It won't be too long. If I get irritated by them, I could leave. So I went home, packed my bags, and there I was, 2 feet away from my brother like the good old times. And boy, it was not fun at all after 2 weeks. Like, he started annoying me, and I'm sure I was annoying him. And my lifestyle, it seemed like it was convicting to him, and his lifestyle was just irritating to me. And I remember I was like moments away from packing up and staying at a friend's house to leave. But something told me to stay, to put aside my anger, and to wait. And on April 4th, I led my brother into a prayer to following Jesus, and he accepted him, and it was amazing. And he's here right now in the back, and it was amazing to see. But more so, what God started doing in his life and how drastically his life has changed. And that's the power of God. And somebody who I couldn't stand to be feet from has now become my best friend. And you know, it doesn't always have to be a dramatic story. Sometimes it's speaking a kind word to someone as a form of prayer or blessing. A team of us just got back from Jordan serving Syrian refugees, providing them with some basic needs. In every house we visited, we were able to pray blessings for them right there in Jesus' name. And in some homes, we saw healing happen, which was pretty cool. And here's the thing. If you see someone injured, offer to pray for them. And if they say no, still pray for them when you walk away. And if you see someone's having a bad day, offer a prayer. But you don't force it. You allow the Spirit to guide you. And what I've been taught is that it's a partnership. So you don't force God, and he won't force you. And I found that the stories are more memorable and meaningful this way. Last 2 weeks ago, I celebrated my 22nd birthday. I know I'm getting old. I'm just kidding for whoever's mad. Yeah, let's leave that aside. Okay. But a couple friends from high school took me to Milwaukee, and we had a great time. We shared some great memories. We laughed the entire time we were there. It was a blast. But there was one thing. I told my friend, we have to be back by 1 o'clock. We have to leave no later than this time. Please, it's all I ask. They were like, okay. Sure enough, it was 40 minutes past the time we were supposed to leave. So now I'm angry and I have somewhere to be. And all I can think about is how I'm mad because I didn't feel heard in the moment. Typical American, right? And I was also tired because surprisingly I'm an introvert. So I didn't feel like talking in the car ride back to Chicago. And so I put my glasses on, my sunglasses, and I was like, I'm going to doze off for a second. And as soon as I dozed off, I heard, do you believe in ghosts? And I said, no, Lord, not right now. Because this person knew I was a Christian, and I guess they were wondering what my perspective was. But I was not in the mood to talk at that time. But my spirit woke up and realized that this was an opportunity to share my faith. And I'm so thankful that that person who's also here this morning asked me that question, because we got to have meaningful conversation that we would have not had if she didn't ask that question, or if I didn't wake up to the reality that God is always present. And so I was able to pray for her, and I invited her to church, and I'm thankful that she is here. Well, here's the thing, like, these encounters don't always happen the way we expect it, and sometimes nothing happens at all. I was just at a wedding. I know I've been at all these locations in the past like month. It's been crazy. I'm tired. I probably might fall asleep here. I'm just joking. But I was at a wedding a week ago, and we started walking up like this hill in Nashville, and I see my friend start trailing behind, and I'm like, oh no, I know I'm gonna have to pray for him. I'm about to give a talk about offering prayer. And I didn't want to do it because I was just tired. And so he keeps trailing even more behind. And I'm like, Parker, what's happening? He's like, my like Achilles heel is like messed up. And I was like, this might be weird, but can I pray for you? And he's like, sure. And he's a Christian, but he's you'll find out that a lot of Christians aren't aware of this concept of praying for people in the present. And so I asked if I could pray for him, and I prayed, and he said he felt this like warm sensation in his ankle. And I was explaining that's like the power of God. And then for a second, he was like, I think I'm healed. I've never been a part of something like this. And then sure enough, 2 feet later, he was like, nope, the shoes. He was like, I feel the pain again. And you know what? Healing didn't happen in that moment, but I got to share with him some valuable skills that I've learned here about praying for other people. And I'm sure he's been like encouraged by that and now has been asking me questions more about how to go about this. So you never know what can come about from these situations. So I would like to say that it's like a formula. This is what I've been taught as well. The more you trust that God can use you, the more he will. And Jesus told the Pharisees later in that story that we read earlier, my Father is always at work. And when we wake up to the idea that God is always ready to move, it frees him up to work through you. And every time we pray for someone, we get a better understanding of what it was like to be Jesus. And through that, we learn more about his nature and his heart. And in closing, I would like to say the name Christian was a name that the Romans gave to the first followers of Christ. It was supposed to be an insult, which meant little Christ. And there, I can imagine they were probably practicing praying for people, and they looked weird, just like I look every time I ask somebody if I could pray for them. But who knew that that would be a perfect name, because that's exactly who we're supposed to become, little Christ. And so I'm going to invite you guys this morning to practice in this spiritual practice with me. For those who this is an uncommon practice, can I invite you to pray for one person this week? And for those who feel confident, who normally do this, perhaps your challenge is to make things happen more naturally and don't force it. Does that sound doable? Yes. All right, thank you.